Hey, Matt, thank you. I am so grateful to God that the Lord has brought Matt here. Help me to just welcome Matt to our church one more time. What an incredible guy. Hey, listen, we are in a sermon series just talking about moving from you know, just getting by to actually flourishing. And I love our subject that we're looking at this morning because we're going to be talking about flourishing in our mind, flourishing in our thoughts. And after going through a year of pandemic and isolation, just kind of a mass confession time, how many of y'all just, you know, you want to just confess it publicly? You could use a little mind tune-up this morning. Yeah, okay, there's a few of us. In the early service, I jumped in there before they could actually raise their hand. I'm being rude to y'all. I'm just letting you raise your hand so you can confess it publicly. Yeah, my mind has given in to some stinking thinking, you know? And so, man, I could use a little bit of a tune-up. Here's the reality. When it comes to our mind, if we really want to flourish in our thoughts, it really does seem like people have a natural bent. Some are just kind of bent towards the glasses half empty, and others are bent towards the glasses half full. Some just kind of approach life and approach it from kind of a negative perspective, and others, they just have this knack, this ability to find the silver lining in any cloud, no matter how dark the cloud might be. Some people just wake up and their first thought is, God, how in the world could you be so good to me? Other people, their first thought tends to be something along the lines of, man, the world's just out to get me. So this morning, which person are you? Which way do you just kind of naturally bend? Are you more of a person who just responds, I've never been better? Or are you a person who just kind of naturally responds to life, things never go my way? Here's a reality that I want you to grapple with. You and I get to determine our disposition. Our thoughts will actually determine our disposition. And I'm telling you, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just getting it in the water. Even if this morning you feel like your life is kind of personified about by the guy that I read about. He's in a coma for 9 months. True story. Who knew? In a coma, you still go to the dentist. And so they took this guy to the dentist. He's in a coma. He's in the dentist chair. And I don't know what happened, if it's just fluke, it's just timing, or if it's the laughing gas. That stuff is awesome. And so I don't know what it was, but the guy literally comes out of a coma in the dentist chair. I read that story and I thought, man, that would be just my luck. I'm in a coma for 9 months. I wake up and the first thing, I've got a dentist appointment to go to. Maybe you think that's kind of a picture of your life. Do you ever find that your mind just gets into this rut, this kind of rut that just all you can see is your pain? And if the truth were told, all you want to do is drown your sorrows. Here's some truths for us to consider this morning. Before we ever open the truth, the Word of God, here's some truths for us to consider. Number one, if you're going to do a little mind tune-up with me this morning, if you're just going to examine with me, how could we move in our mind from just getting by to actually flourishing? And the reality for some of us to move from floundering in our thoughts to actually flourishing in our thoughts, how in the world can we do that? Well, here's some things that we're just going to have to recognize as true. Number one, we all have trouble, and no one is exempt. Here's the reality. In God's word, we read this, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And the New American Standard, it says, each day has enough trouble of its own. If you believe that each day has all the trouble you can handle, would you just say amen? Here's the reality. Every one of us faces pain, challenges, difficulties, trials, turmoil every single day. And here's the second truth that we've got to understand. Nobody has all the luck. You and I are convinced. We look around at other people, seems like everything in their life's going great, and we're going, man, they just always get the lucky break. They have all the luck. Let me tell you something. The reality is nobody has all the luck. And then this third point that I want to make before we ever dive into the Word of God is this. And you can argue the point with me, and that's okay. Hang with me even if you want to argue the point. No one is just naturally happy. You go, no. I think some people are naturally happy, just like some people are just naturally mean in their thinking, angry in their thinking, bitter in their thinking. I think some people are just naturally happy. I don't agree with that. Here's what I believe. It's what we choose to think about that determines our disposition. Where did I get that? I got that from the text that we are about to read. Think of trials and blessing and everything else that happens in your life as the input. Now, it's the trials that tend to lead to stinking thinking. It's the trials that tend to lead us to flounder in our thinking. And so I'm going to focus probably more on trials, but think of the input in your life is just the stuff that happens in the course of the day. But when it comes to trouble, understand this. The Bible says, in the world you will have tribulation. So just realize this. Input into your life every single day is going to be that which is painful. It's going to be that which you are struggling with, that which is a trial, that which is a burden, that which is hard, that which is difficult. That's the input. Think of your thoughts and even your disposition, your attitude in your mind as the output. Here's the reality. Anytime you face difficult situations, your mind immediately goes into gear and your mind tries to find a reason for the pain. You try to develop a narrative for the pain. And for some, whenever your life gets painful, the narrative sounds about like this. Here we go again. I don't ever get a break. The world is out to get me. That's just my luck. But others, you encounter pain, you encounter challenges, and you take your mind, you direct your mind in a different direction. God, you're so good. God, I'm going to trust you with this challenge. God, I'm going to trust you with this burden. God, you've been faithful to me in the past, and you're going to be faithful to me in the future. Here's something that I read that I think is profound. What will determine whether our soul is filled with joy or despair? Let me ask you a question. Do you want your soul to be filled with joy or with despair? Which one? Say it out loud. I want to hear. What will determine whether your soul is filled with joy or despair is not the amount of trouble that we encounter or that we avoid, but how we respond to that trouble. How we respond to that trouble. If there's one thing I want you to just really write on just the chalkboard in your mind, maybe even with an ink on paper, it is this point. You find peace not in the absence of trouble, but in responding rightly to it. Where do I get that? Out of the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I knew I forgot my water and I shouldn't have. And I want to ask you to just stand with me and read these words with me. Verses 8 and 9. And let's read these verses together. See, I told you Matt is awesome. I love this guy. Thank you, Matt. Let's read this together. Let's declare this to be true. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and grab a seat. Thank you for honoring God and honoring his word. Notice that it says, and look on the screen, it says, think about these things. The word think means to literally dwell on. And what Paul is telling us is this: a man who faced all kinds of trials and tribulation, but a man who also flourished in his mind, flourished in his thinking. He said, here's the trick that the Holy Spirit taught me. I have to take charge of what my mind dwells on. I have to choose what my mind is going to dwell on. I have to be responsible for what I allow my mind to think on. Here's what he is saying. We control our mind. Our mind does not control us. Do you believe that? That core part of your being, I'm talking about the part that has been saved, the part that is a new creation, the part that has been newly made, the part that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call that. You want to call that your soul? Then I'm talking about your soul. And I'm telling you, your soul controls your mind. Your soul controls your thoughts. Your thoughts do not control your soul. And God is telling us through his servant Paul that you and I have to choose. You get to choose what you are going to dwell on. So when you stump your toe, when you have that fender bender, when somebody sins against you, in that moment, you've got a choice and you get to choose what you're going to dwell on. And for some, what happens is when life goes bad, when life doesn't go the way we want, when life gets difficult, we give our mind permission or precision or whatever other word I was trying to say. We give our mind permission to go dark, don't we? And we give our mind permission to dwell on the negative and woe is me and everybody's out to get me and I'm going to go eat worms. Big ones, fat ones, little ones, skinny ones, any kind that squirm. Because just nobody likes me and everybody hates me. Do you ever do that? That's not just me, is it? We give our mind permission to go dark. Or in that moment, we recognize, wait a minute, I control my mind. My mind doesn't control me. My soul controls my thoughts. My thoughts don't control my soul. And God has empowered me through the Holy Spirit to make a choice. And instead, I can direct my mind someplace else entirely. We're going to spend the rest of the sermon talking about where else we are to direct our mind. So I don't want to jump ahead to there. Let me just say this. Too many people are experts at making lemons out of lemonade. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever do that? I mean, there's a few people who really can make lemonade out of lemons. But then there are some experts, such as myself, who can take the best, sweetest, tastiest lemonade and find the lemons in the midst of it. And the truth is, the world is filled with experts just like that. We have to remember, your disposition doesn't determine your thoughts. Your thoughts determine your disposition. One other thing before we move on from this text, and we spend a lot of time right here just looking at this, think on these things. When it says that, do you realize that is a command? That's no big deal, right? God commands us to think on these things, and we'll consider it, right? Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Out loud, let's just declare it, yes or no. Is he?
Yes.
Oh man, y'all are awesome. I love it. Is Jesus Christ, if you confess him as your Lord, is he actually your King? Yes or no?
Yes.
And so when Jesus Christ, our King, commands us to do something, are we actually responsible to obey our King? One final yes and we'll be done.
Yes.
And so Jesus Christ, our King, is saying, This is serious business. This is not just about a little mind tune-up. I'm your king and I'm commanding you. When you encounter trials, I expect this of you. I expect you to take charge of your thoughts and not allow your thoughts to go negative and dark and woe is me and I hate the world and the world hates me and somebody's gonna pay for my pain. Instead, I'm gonna direct my mind someplace else entirely. And we're gonna talk about where we direct our mind to. Proper thinking is not optional for a Christ follower because this is a command, but it is a choice. And before you make the choice, listen to me. I'm just trying to motivate you to listen to the rest of the sermon because I'm going to tell you where Paul says you and I are to direct our thoughts to. But if you're not convinced to do it, you're not even going to really listen to the rest of the sermon. So where do we direct our thoughts? We'll talk about it. Why should we direct our thoughts? Let's talk about that right now. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you begin to think, that is going to form your disposition. Whatever you dwell on, that is going to shape your attitude towards life. And so Paul says, Jesus is your king, and your king commands you to dwell on these things. What things? Well, notice first it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Now, when Paul says, okay, you encounter trials and your mind wants to go dark, but instead you take charge of your thoughts and you direct your thoughts toward that which is true. He's not talking about just random truths. Let me tell you some random truths. Today is Sunday. My favorite color is blue and I need to lose weight. And all three of those are true. But that's not the truth that's gonna lead your mind to flourish, especially if you're sitting there thinking, he really does need to lose weight. No, your mind is gonna flounder if you're thinking that. All of those things are true, but what is the truth that he is talking about? Scripture tells us that Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, I am the what? Truth. And what else is true? The Bible says, sanctify them in truth. Truth, your word is truth. So when you encounter trouble, here's the very first thing Paul tells us to do. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, here's what your king commands you to do. You encounter trials and your mind wants to take a detour into the darkness and just, woe is me and I hate the world and the world hates me. Instead, he said, you focus your mind on Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And you focus your mind on God's word, which is the truth. You focus your mind on Jesus. In spite of the reality of the hardness and the hardship of this moment, you love me, Jesus, in spite of all appearances. You are with me. Jesus, in spite of how painful my life is right now, you are protecting me. Jesus, you have a purpose and a plan for my life. You just begin to repeat what you know is true about Jesus, and you begin to repeat what you know is true from the Word of God. Amen? And what do you know from the Word of God? You know from the Word of God that Satan has been defeated. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. You know that flesh and blood are not your enemy. See, whenever your life is in pain, what do? You begin to identify the source of the pain. Most often we identify a person as the source of the pain, and we're thinking that person needs to pay for our pain. But what if you begin to direct your mind towards the Word of God, which is true? And you begin to say, wait a minute, the truth is right now, this person whom I believe is causing my pain is actually not my enemy because flesh and blood is not my enemy. Satan, who's working through that person, is my enemy. And they're just being duped. And then if you're glass half empty like me, then you keep going. They're just dumb. They're just an idiot. They're just a tool of Satan. And okay, I'll stop. But anyway, I'm just saying you repeat that which is true. Does that make sense? Because let me tell you something else. Paul says you direct your mind to that which is true because when you encounter trials, Satan also comes and speaks into your mind. But you know what he speaks? Not truth. He speaks lies. And he says, you're facing this hardship because God has turned his back on you. You're facing this hardship because God's got favorites and you ain't one of them. You're facing this hardship because God has cursed you. You're facing this hardship because others hate you. You're facing this hardship because you can never catch a break because other people get all the luck. And listen, by the way, you should lash out and make someone pay for your pain. And listen to me, if you believe Satan's lies instead of God's truth, well, you already know the answer. Is your mind going to flourish or is it going to flounder? Paul says, when you encounter trials, direct your mind to truth. Now, let's just blow through some of these others rather quickly. He says also, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is, say that word with me, what? Honorable. It means that which is worthy of respect. It actually comes from the root word for worship. And here's the essence of what I think it's talking about. It's talking about the applause of heaven. You encounter trials. Your mind wants to go dark. Instead, you say, wait a minute, I control my mind. My mind doesn't control me. My soul is in charge of my mind. My mind is not in charge of my soul. And so I'm directing my mind to that which is true, and I'm directing my mind to that which is honorable. And honorable, if I understand the word, which is a root from worship, means I am going to ask God, God, is what I am thinking in response to the pain in my life, is it honorable? Is it worthy of the applause of heaven? Are the angels standing and cheering what I'm thinking right now? And if the answer is no, we put that thought aside because that thought is going to lead to our mind floundering rather than flourishing. You're thinking thoughts of hate, thoughts of getting even, thoughts of drowning your sorrows at a local bar. And you go, God, let me ask you a question. Are those the kind of thoughts that the angels of heaven are all standing and applauding right now? Man, we're so proud of your hate, your schemes to get even. Oh, they're not, God? Okay, what do you want me to think about? He said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. The word just means that which is right, which is in line with Scripture and the teachings of God. It kind of takes us back to God's word, and it kind of takes us back to what is true, because Jesus is true and God's word is true. And so I'm just using God's word as a level. Have you ever tried to hang a picture and you're kind of like my wife? It bugs you if the picture is hanging off, you know, kilter. And so she actually makes you, and I'm the you in the story, makes you get and then your pages all fall out of your Bible, and a level, and you put the level there, and you get it, and then she makes you, you know, get this little sticker deal, and you stick it on the back, you know, this kind of sticker that won't mess up the paint, and then you stick it on the wall that never moves until you want to pry it off the wall, and it brings the sheetrock with it, but it won't mess up the paint at all. And do you ever do that? And so what Paul is saying is, man, do that with your thoughts. Filter your thoughts through the word of God and just ask God, wait a minute, are my thoughts getting kind of out of kilter here? Are they getting out of line here? Because I'm getting pretty angry here, and I'm thinking about revenge here, and I'm kind of thinking some immoral thoughts here. Okay, God, wait a minute. I'm in charge of my mind. My mind's not in charge of me. I'm in charge of my thoughts. My thoughts aren't in charge of me. And my thoughts are going to determine my disposition. So God, wait a minute. I want to put the level to my thoughts and make sure they're lined up with your thoughts. Notice how it says, whatever is pure. And this word means to be holy or morally clean. We get that. Whatever is lovely. The word means gracious or generous or patient. Isn't that interesting? You kind of begin to evaluate your thoughts and you're thinking, okay, what am I thinking about other people? Am I giving them the benefit of the doubt, or am I thinking of them only in negative terms? Am I extending grace and kindness, or am I only responding with bitterness and anger? That's what the word lovely means. Whatever is commendable. The word means that which is highly regarded, which others would approve. We've already talked about the applause of heaven. The word commendable is talking about the applause of others. Here's the idea. Imagine, you know what a thought bubble is? Just think about a cartoon and out of somebody's head, there's drawn this bubble and there's writing inside the bubble and you know immediately that's a thought bubble. That's what they're thinking, but that's not what they're saying out loud. You tracking with me? Can you imagine? How would you like it? Would you mind if every thought you have this week, every encounter you have with every person, every time you're saying, it's so good to see you, if there was this thought bubble with what you're really thinking, and if they could actually read the thought bubble, would you mind that? You're thinking, yeah. Well, I would too. I just want to know if you would. But anyway, it's those thoughts. Please hear this. Whatever's commendable. It's those thoughts that you're thinking that you wouldn't want anyone else to read your thought bubble that keep you from flourishing and keep you floundering in your thinking. If somebody else would not applaud what you're thinking, that is the very thinking that causes you to flounder in your thinking. Notice in your mind. Notice it says, if there's anything that's excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The key to living like Jesus is thinking like Jesus. Maybe you've heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He's associated with the power of positive thinking. There's nothing wrong and a lot of right in the power of positive thinking. I'm all for the power of positive thinking. Once a day, twice on Sunday. I love it. But that's not talking about the power of positive thinking. Paul's not talking about that. Paul's talking about the power of Jesus thinking. Do you know that? And if you want to live like Jesus, you got to think like Jesus. And this is the kind of thinking that the Holy Spirit uses to renew your mind and transform your soul. Listen to the payoff. Did you catch it at the very end? Verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. You go, wait a minute. I thought God is omniscient and he's everywhere at once. He is. I thought the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me and I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God's already with me. If you're a child of God, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already with you. And so you go, well, what's this talking about? God's going to be with me. I thought he's already with me. I believe Paul is saying, in a very real, tangible, unique way, when you begin to take charge of your thoughts and you don't allow your thoughts to go dark, but whenever you encounter pain or trial or tribulation or hardship, you instead say, wait a minute, I'm going to direct my thoughts to Jesus and the Word of God, and I'm going to direct my thoughts to that thoughts that heaven would stand and applaud, and I'm going to make sure that my thoughts are morally pure. I'm going to direct my thoughts to thoughts that others would applaud if they could read the thought bubble above my head. And when you do that, Paul says this, God will begin to guard your mind with the peace of God through the power of the God of peace. He's saying, this is real and this works because this is not the power of positive thinking. This is the power of Jesus thinking. Now, let me make a confession as I try to conclude. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I really am. I'm the kind of person that tends towards glass half empty. I don't like to think of myself as a negative person, so says every negative person. Some of the staff's over there laughing too loudly. I'm not a negative person, just so you know. It's just that when I walk into a room, what I see flashing in neon are the problems. What I see in the fine print are the blessings. I walk into a room and I see what needs to be fixed. I take little time to celebrate what's working well. And so I can tend to be the kind of person where my mind goes negative, where my mind goes dark. And I'm telling you, this text challenges me because it tells me that I, as well as you, get to choose what my mind will dwell on, and what I choose to dwell on will dictate my disposition. So let me end where we started. You find peace not in the absence of tribulation and trouble, but in responding rightly to it. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Matt's about to come and close out the service, but I'm going to ask you to do something, because the truth is we've gone over too much material and you're not going to remember it all. How do I know that? Because I'm preaching to myself and I've been trying to practice it all week, and I'm going like, no, wait a minute, what is it? Just and okay, Jesus and the Bible. And so I came up with this. I want to ask you to just filter your thoughts through an ABC filter. A, applause. This week, just as you're just living your day, especially when you're responding to hardship, just ask yourself, is what I'm thinking that which the angels in heaven would applaud? Is what I'm thinking that which others, if they could read the thought bubble above my head, is it that which they would applaud? B, Bible. Is what I'm thinking in line with what I know the word teaches? Are my words just? Are my thoughts rather just? Are my thoughts in line with that which is true, which God has told me in his word? See, Christ Jesus. Are my thoughts in line with what I know about Jesus? Jesus loves me. Jesus has saved me. I'm a child of God. I'm already a person who's received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm positionally righteous. One day Jesus will return and sanctify me, and I'll be righteous, not just in position, but in practice. Are my thoughts in line with what I know about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, you'll know when your thoughts are getting in line when you wake up every day and you just think first thing, Jesus, how could you be so good to me? You'll know your thoughts are kind of going in the wrong direction when you wake up every day going, I really think the world's out to get me. Do you want to flourish in your thinking? You can. It's your choice. And what you choose to dwell on will determine your disposition. I know that when I go to Jesus, which is pretty much every single day, and I ask Jesus to direct my thoughts, sometimes he gives me a different perspective, and sometimes he just changes the subject. Does he ever do that for you? Gary, you're focused on yourself, you're focused on this, focused on that. Hey, I've got an idea. Gary, what if we think about instead waking the world up to Jesus? What if we think instead about making disciples who make disciples? What if we think instead about maybe sharing the gospel boldly with someone today? What if we think about instead, who could we serve? Maybe Jesus is just saying, hey, Gary, and he does this a lot, why don't you just kind of shut down all the voices in your head and be still and know that I am God? That's what I invite you to do this week. And by the way, if you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the kingdom of God is real. Jesus really is the king. And Jesus Christ died on a cross. He was buried in a grave. He rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell. And Jesus Christ invites you and me to repent of our sin and living independent of his right to rule over our life, to believe in him, and then to begin to follow him as the Lord, Savior, God, King of our life. If you've never done that, I'm going to be standing at the Next Step room at the end of the service, and I would love to have the privilege of talking to you or connecting you to somebody who will. Man, if you need to know more about joining the church, you want somebody to pray over you, whatever your next step is, there's a next step right there, and we would love, Next Step room, and we would love to meet with you. Let me pray, and Matt's going to close us out. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us how we can flourish in our thoughts this week. We love you, Jesus. Amen.